You broke.
All right, Kiss Army. Welcome to the Kiss FAQ podcast. Thank you for giving us your time today and letting us into your head. I hope we don't do any damage. This is a Kiss-related podcast by the board for the board. We hope that you enjoy. We'd love you to support this show. Please like, follow, and subscribe to us on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Your likes and subscription helps us to grow and attract interviews and content. So please retweet and share our posts. Your contributions are appreciated. All right, welcome to the Kiss FAQ podcast. I'm your host, Julian Gill. We got Lonnie St. Louis Kiss, who's in a happy mood this week because the Bengals actually managed to win a game. Of course, yeah, it was a little win, Cowboys. So it doesn't really count as the Cowboys, for God's sakes. But there you go.
Win's a win. I'll take it.
I had to hear my wife ranting about the 49ers losing in the snow and then losing in the rain. So
that was a horrible game.
And right now, Liverpool has been done dirty by the referee. So there we go. All right. We also got 69th Blizzard, the voice of reason, slowly getting over his bug. But he's here.
Hello.
And his volume's up. So there we go.
Yes.
And joining us from midnight somewhere, Daniel Wheeze.
Well, you know, it's not midnight here. This is the perfect.
Is it dark?
True that. Yes, it's completely dark. You know, 4 o'clock, it's completely dark over here. So you start working, it's dark. And then when you come home and watch the news, it says, well, today was a sunny day. You never get a chance to see it because when you get home, it's dark again. So, but it will turn soon. The 21st of December, I think, is the turning point. And then somewhere in February, you start seeing the light once again when you leave work. So there's hope.
They can keep it. This is my favorite time of the year. I love it. Yeah. You know, last night we got slaughtered with a storm.
I heard that.
And how was it for you? We had 6:15 this morning. We had a tornado alert in San Francisco because there were water spouts in the bay and all sorts of crap going on. Our power was out at I don't remember what time it was, but the PG&E actually did a great job getting it back on. But that woke us up, everything powering up, powering down, people driving winds. It was freaking nuts. I mean, it was like the Scottish coast again. I love it. So everything safe for you out there? Ken? You're muted, by the way. You're still muted.
Sorry about that. I'm safe out here. It was pretty darn windy last night and rainy, but we've had that before, so.
Yeah, you've had rain before, but yeah, there we go. Let's bring Lonnie back in.
No tornadoes.
And we have to say that Mark couldn't make it today because he had some problems with, I think it was his heater that broke down or something.
Yeah.
No heat in Canada sounds rough.
Yeah.
Though, if there's a great YouTube channel called Outdoor Boys, and they do a lot of camping in the woods without tents sometimes in winter, hot tents, all sorts of stuff. Very cool channel to check out at Kill Time. All right, so we're a Kiss podcast. We're not going to talk about camping. CMAC, thanks for joining us. Adam, North Carolina, thanks for joining us. And everyone else who's watching us live or watching us later, thank you for joining in. We've got a couple of topics today, but there is some news. It was Bruce Kulick's birthday this week, and want to wish Bruce a very happy birthday. And he gave us a present. He celebrated the release of Alive, Animalized Live Uncensored with some unreleased soundboard audio from his collection, resynced with the video, which was very cool to listen to. And it's just a reminder of how much stuff there still is that can be celebrated. Daniel, I bet you got super excited for that, didn't you?
Yeah, I think that was good. And it sounded good as well. I mean, it sounded great. It was kind of fun to listen to Paul's vocals because I really did never understand how much they were, improved in the studio, because you can hear he has some troubles singing that song. I think it was it Thrills in the Night that he released?
Yeah,
but it made me think we need to celebrate Animal Eyes Live Uncensored. So that was one of my suggestions this week. I had four suggestions, I don't know, you guys watching and listening, what do you think about them? One was that we did a solo death match between albums released after the real solo album, so post 78, so to speak. I think that would be a cool episode. And also, I would like Julian to do some prep work, prepping some stuff, because I think it would be interesting to, since it's the anniversary of Animalize, how about comparing solos from Vinnie in 84, Bruce in 84, and Mark in 84 doing the same solos. That would be a great episode. But, you know, Julian has a lot to do, so I don't know if he has the time to do that, but it would be a great episode. But that was voted out. And the two that were left remaining was one about Animalize Live Uncensored. We'll talk about that one. And the other one was, you know, the future of Kiss, and also Kiss Cancer, that event that took place a few days ago. It seemed like a lot of fun.
Yeah, we'll be talking about those. Yeah, I got three books on the go. I'm kind of busy, but I do want to do we will do the guitar compare, because that'll be a fun conversation. Lonnie, did you manage to check out any of the Bruce video this week? You had a couple things up.
I did. I thought it was really cool. You know, I love getting nuggets of that time frame, because it's Bruce is always the one that's championing it, because the band basically ignores it and almost acts like it never happened for the most part. So anytime we can get a nugget like that out there is great in my opinion, because that's, you know, the era where I became a fan. Daniel and you as well, Julian, you know, we became fans. You know, I liked the band who they were in the 80s. So any chance we have to get that is great, and it sounded great. I thought it was a really cool just little nugget that Bruce put out there for us. And you're right, it just shows us that, man, there's so much stuff out there. I wish that we could get the ball rolling on some stuff, and not just be so damn stagnant all the time.
Ken, Animalize Live recaps, and we'll talk a little bit more about the video.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to check that out yet, actually. So I look forward to seeing what, you know, Bruce did on that. But Animalize Live Uncensored, that was a big deal when it, you know, it's like the first real video they released officially, that you could buy, you know, on VHS. I remember buying it for $70 or something. I don't know. It was some outrageous amount of dollars. So, because back then, if you bought a VHS, it cost them a lot when they first were, you know, coming out and everything. So anyway, yeah, it's cool. I do want to see what, you know, he says about it, or, you know.
I think that audio would make a really cool off the soundboard that he clearly they clearly have the untouched. I don't know how Paul would feel about that, since. You know, clearly a lot of work had to go into the video for release. I mean, back in the days, our videos were $59.95 on beta or VHS. You know, it's one thing for a polished professional thing, and that they were doubling up with the MTV concert and the filming for the Thrills in the Night video. But an off the soundboard of the Raw, or in an Animalize Super Deluxe, I mean, that's where these things fit perfectly, especially with the rights to the video itself. And there was a great thread on the FAQ where there was a little bit of back and forth about the purpose of Animalize Live Uncensored, and whether it was to kind of do a live album without doing the album and separate it from physical, you know, LP release as an experiment. And one of the posters went into quite a few, quite a bit of depth about their thoughts on the industry at that time. So that made for very interesting reading. Let's jump into some of the other news. I think this is one of Tommy. Tommy's a father. Did you see that on Instagram?
Yeah.
Girlfriend had a baby.
That. A new baby.
A new baby. Well, congratulations, Tommy. You know, now that you're off the road, I guess a good time to do that and to experience all the fun of fatherhood. Yeah. So,
I just think it was such a great story when he reconnected with that child a few years back. He didn't know he had. They seem to get along great together. I think that's just such a
cool story. Yeah, she's been featured in a lot of his stories, and he's really seemed to have made an effort to catch up, you know, for those lost years or those absent years that he didn't know. So, you know, Tommy's a good guy. I like him a lot. He's always been a very supportive guy. He's a nice guy, and I wish him all the best. Going from one nice guy to another nice guy, well, a powerful and attractive one, Gene has announced, this is fantastic, I've got even so the ultimate Gene Simmons experience.
This is unbelievable.
This is Gene is just Gene is Gene. I mean, you see a dog pissing on a fire hydrant, you can't get mad at it because it's just being a dog. Gene has something to sell. Gene will always think of some way to separate someone from their money. And you know what? I say respect to him. If he can get people who will pay for this experience, more power to him. That's free market right there. No one's putting a gun to anyone's head to make them buy this. And they do offer installments and a payment plan. So, all right. So the ultimate Gene Simmons experience. You will be Gene Simmons' personal assistant and band roadie for the day. The experience includes you will meet up with Gene and the Gene Simmons band members early in the day, either at his hotel, or designated location to go over the band's show schedule. You will be on the Gene Simmons band crew for the entire day. You will get a t-shirt and hat.
Nice.
Sorry, didn't mean to pause there. You will get a VIP laminate. You will have a meal with Gene Simmons at the hotel or backstage. You will arrive and load into the venue with the band. You will help the band set up for the show.
Free labor.
You will hang out backstage. You will sit in on sound check. Gene Simmons will bring you on stage during the show and embarrass you and introduce you. You'll get a signed set list by Gene Simmons. Yeah. You can take photos throughout your entire experience. You may bring one guest. That's actually, if you split it, you know, it's only going to be $6,250
right?
Each.
A bargain.
Yeah. You know, that's a discount. You can bring four items for Gene to sign, no instrument parts, etc. Well, etc. is kind of broad. And then he will also give you a rehearsal bass. So you are getting an instrument in addition to all that. And I would think that there's got to be some liability insurance built into that price because you're bringing some gomer into a backstage area and having them even pretend to load in like 3-2-1 contact. Lonnie, let's start with you. Capitalism is good, right?
Gene loves America is what you can say for that. I saw Bill Starkey posted on Facebook yesterday, and at first I didn't believe it. I'm like, oh, that's just so ridiculous, that can't be true. I thought he was like just messing around or something, and then it turns out it is true. People will do it. 100% people will do it. I don't know if it'll happen in every city for where he does a show, but It people will do it. There's a lot of Kiss fans with money that they don't know what to do with, and that's been proven with between cruises and these people and people that buy instruments on cruises and do these backstage tours and like that ultimate tour that you could do during the end of the road, whatever the hell you want to call it, tour. And here they haven't been able to give Gene any cash for a year. They have extra money they don't know what to do with. People will definitely pay to do this. It will happen. People say that's so ridiculous. Who's going to do that? Like, there are definitely Kiss fans that'll do it. And if you want to do it, go have at it. If you don't want to do it, that's fine too. But you can't get mad at Gene for selling it. If you don't want it, don't do it. I mean, if you can't afford it. Fine.
Exactly. If you can't afford it, well, it's not even nothing to worry about, right?
I can't afford a Lamborghini, but I'm not mad that they exist.
That's the only way.
Same thing.
If you do this, there's a standing invitation to come on the Kiss FAQ podcast to talk about your day and to share all your multimedia well. So standing invitation. And no, we won't pay you to help you recoup any of that $12,495, no appearance fees for doing it. Daniel, what's your thought on this?
Well, the first time I understood that Gene had a kind of a different approach to pricing was when they really, and I know Julian, you went to it, and Ken, the vault thing there, and that was kind of pricey, but it was still a cool event. But then he had He offered the opportunity to be a co-producer or something on The Vault, and it was crazy, the price for it. But one guy made it to, he is listed as an associate producer. So that guy paid that price. And I guess Gene then understood that, well, I can do these crazy pricings on some of the stuff, and I don't have to put in a lot of effort to get a lot of money. So I think this is the next step, you know, instead of trying to get 10 persons interested in a thing or 100, what about just making one special thing and outprice everyone except the real crazy fans? I bet you that guy that, that bought the Vault Experience, he will pay for this one as well. So easy money for Gene. What do I think about it? Well, it's not my cup of tea. I'd rather see him, you know, trying to put out something that more people could enjoy, of course, more fans. But I see his point of view, you know, easy money, less effort. I mean, the guy is, I don't know how old he is by now, but he's an old guy. He's a senior citizen. So I think this is a thing that he can offer, and I don't mind it. I just think it's, the pricing is just crazy.
Yeah, anyone who gets angry at this is crazy, by the way. RJ Jordan, great point, with easier than selling 12 VIP meet and greets for a grand a pop. Yeah, absolutely. It just streamlines it. It makes it super exclusive. And you know what? With the base, with the signed items, you know, and everything, I don't think it's terrible value either when you're getting a base. And if you look at what he's charging for, you know, stage played base, this is a rehearsal one. So you might be able to say that that's more exclusive because he's not been selling this. But Gene has always, and his team have been very creative about these products. They've done the Electric Lady stuff. You know, record a song with Gene Simmons. They keep upping the ante or finding new ways to, you know, kind of put on these events. Dinner with Gene as well was done, which is very cool, and get stuff from his personal collection in a base case or a trout case, whichever. It really is. They're looking for different ways to provide that exclusivity. And obviously, Ken and I were very lucky with our Vault Experiences because we got way more for our Vault Experience with it being the first one than other people did eventually, because they didn't get Ace, they didn't get Eric Singer, Bruce Kulick. Who else was there?
Just too bad you missed out on that expensive clock that the first one, the you know, the wrist.
The Rolex?
Yeah, the first
the
guy.
Rolex. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Second in line,
Yeah, but at least I got my Almo sheet music for whatever the hell it was, for Calling Dr. Love, I think, or Christine 16. Right. Really stupid.
Well, Ken, you know,
what do you think about this?
Just short. I still go back and watch Julian's Box Experience because you uploaded, you know, like a few minutes when you get the vault from Gene. I always enjoy watching that and your interaction with Gene. You're so laid back. I think you were pretty cool there. I would be so starstruck, but you're so cool. But, oh, Gene, it's heavy. And then you carry it on. So you guys, if you haven't watched it, it's on the Kiss FQ podcast, a short snippet of Julian's experience. So go and watch
it. I keep forgetting that's up, as is my interaction with Paul on the cruise for that guitar, which I refuse to watch. All right, Ken, what are your thoughts on this? You going to do it? Come on, Ken.
Come on, Ken.
No.
Do it for the show, Ken.
I mean, come on, Ken. You can come on the show and tell us all about it for free.
Do it for the show.
Yeah, do it for the show.
Right. Take one for the team.
Yeah, I mean, if I had them, you know, money like to throw around like that, I'd do it. But no. I mean, it's cool. I know someone will do it. Maybe one person, maybe two. I don't know. Maybe there'll be more. I don't know. I think it's a kind of cool thing. Yeah, I'd love to do it. But no, it's not for me. But I think it's, you know, that's fine. Gene did, you know, is allowed to come up with things to, you know, make some money and you know, give a fan an experience, you know, that they might, you know, like to have with them, you know, go and, you know, have lunch and all that stuff, or breakfast, whatever, and hanging around the stage and doing all that stuff. So yeah, I think it's kind of cool. But you know, I wasn't going to spend that money. I mean, they had 20% off at the Kiss Online on vinyl the other day, and I thought, oh, maybe I'll get the box set. And I thought, so I priced it out. I got on there, and I was going to go, okay, Destroyer vinyl, black vinyl, and it didn't reduce it enough for me. 20% off wasn't even enough to reduce that price tag for me to pull the trigger on that. So I just
said, yeah, 20% was a pretty good discount on that, but it's just so damn expensive to begin with.
Exactly.
I saw a couple of people who did take advantage of that, and they were actually very thrilled that, you know, that 20% was enough for them to go, you know, to cross the road.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, and the thing about the vault experience, yeah, that turned out to be a very good experience. And Julian, you know, Julian filmed me and with Gene too. I have a film too. So.
Well, I haven't seen that one.
Okay. I'll show it to you.
Yeah, Ken was right behind me in line, and we were so, because it was all new, I had a tripod, camera, it was all set, and Keith was great. He set it up and pointed it, and they eventually stopped letting that be done. So because it was invasive and, you know, because Ken was next and I'd asked Keith to if we just keep it running, we got all the in-between banter, which was between Gene and one of his assistants before Ken came in. So he was looking at that big-ass book I'd given him, and, you know, they're really cool about it. So it was very fly on the wall. Yeah.
That's the way we should start next week's show, showing Ken's video. What a kickoff for next week.
All right, so I've just seen the result for Liverpool. Not happy.
Liverpool. Fulham?
It's a fix. Fulham shite. So, all right, let's move on to and we will get to the topic of the day, but there's so much cool stuff this week, you know, and I've known about this for a while, obviously, but Ace is working on Origins Volume 3. That's going to be the next release. Daniel, what's your take on a third volume of Origins? And if you can think of one off the top of your head, the other two guys have a while to think. Is there anything that you would love for him to do with this third installment of this format?
Well, I won't get my hopes up that high. I think he's always relied on covers. When you look back on his career, you know, Trouble Walking, on that one he has one, two, three. Trouble Walking is actually a cover, but or he didn't write it at least. And Do Ya is a cover on Trouble Walking, a great cover. And if you look back, he New York Groove, of course, is the thing that started this. You know, he from left field he got a hit with a song he didn't even believe him. In himself, I think he wasn't too fond of doing a cover of that one. He didn't believe in the song, and then it went to, I don't know, it charted at least. But after that, he's been covering a lot of tunes. But another covers album, I don't know. It's better than nothing, I guess. So, as a Kiss fan, I'll sure as hell listen to it. But I'm not too excited about it. I wish he would have added one or two songs, but he just released an album. So the main thing is he's staying active. He's still releasing things. At times, I'm wondering what could have happened between 89 and whenever Anomaly was released, 2009 or something. That's the period he should have been releasing these sort of albums. It's a bit late now, but I guess it's better than nothing. And last week I did an episode on Trouble Walking for another podcast and listened through that. And I think it's a great record. I think that's one of his best. And the latest one wasn't bad either. So I was hoping for another, you know, studio album. But I mean, he just released one. So I think it's a good way of to keep active, you know, keep getting material out there. So release another covers album, but I'm not getting my hopes up, but it's better than nothing.
Yeah, and of course, 2000 Man Into the Night.
Yeah.
I obviously we're working on the Ace book. The song story sections, you know, about all the songs on those albums is really freaking cool as a Kiss fan. And the stories about the covers as well is kind of neat. Bernd, good to see you. When will you do a special about all the great Kiss stuff happening in Sweden? Well, we don't speak Swedish, so a lot of the great stuff that's done in Sweden...
I do.
is Swedish only. So it makes it very difficult. How many new books comes out in the US? Well, I've got three in the pipeline right now, and there's, you know, more being worked on, not just US, but Australia has behind the screen, the TV appearances of Kiss is getting close, I think. Alan is always putting out his stuff. There's a Kiss in Belgium book on, so it's a worldwide thing. You know, I would love for those Carl and Alex books to be in English, by the way. But let's move back to Lonnie, Origins Volume 3, thoughts?
Kind of going to piggyback off of what Daniel said. Like, well, am I super excited about it? Am I going to be counting down the days when it comes out? No, probably not. It's an easy record for him to make, I guess. He doesn't have to exuberate a whole lot of effort into it. So he can put it out there and he can, you know, the Uber Kiss fans will buy it. And he can put out 17 different versions of it that the Uber Kiss fan will have to have all of them. So am I excited about it? No. Will I buy it? Yeah. and it'll be fine. And I'll listen to it a couple of times and I don't know when I'll revisit it. Cause I don't know how, I haven't really revisited the other ones a whole lot. No. So it's just kind of, okay. And I'll get it and kind of move on.
This is a question for all you guys. If you look back at the two previous ones, is there a song or two that you really go back and listen to?
Kix.
Okay. Ken, then.
Was it Fire and Water?
Yeah, that's mine as well. Yeah, I like that one.
That's a good one.
Yeah. But that mostly because Paul is on.
Because Paul's there, yeah.
Yeah.
You should do one with Gene. You know, duet with Gene.
He should do and there's a great thread on Gene, the FAQ about some of it. Gene and Peter get you know, former members of Kiss that he's worked with. He's had Bruce on, you know, so why not get Peter to do drums on one? I'm sure they can come up with something. But a couple of the ideas.
But I think Peter on drums, I would rather hear him singing because. The last time we saw Peter, he did some event where he sang to the camera. He still sounds pretty good. So his vocals, to me, at least after 78, his drumming hasn't been, you know, that special. But his vocals have always been very, very special and a great thing to add to a record. So you know, have Peter sing one of his songs or take turns singing a song. That would get me excited. Or have Gene sing one of the songs together with Ace. That would get me excited. But, you know, having some producer, he always tend to, you know, piggyback of another guy in the studio. He's done that a few times. And have that guy, you know, producing everything and recording some of the solos, that isn't very titillating for me. So bring in the old Kiss guys and make something special.
Well, I agree with Lonnie a lot. I may have listened to Origins one time, the last one. I don't know. It wasn't hardly listened to it. I think though when 10,000 Volt came out, they were talking about, you know, the next thing is probably going to be this Origins. Yeah. Isn't this, and he's going to have the producer, same producer, what's his name now? Steve Brown to produce, I think, Origins, which, you know, that sound wise, I think it'll be pretty darn good. And the other thing I remember is it sounded like there's going to be a lot of like duets or something on it. On this album, like there's going to be more, you know, duets or a lot of people. And I thought, well, that might be more interesting than the last couple, depending, you know, so who it is and so on. But you know what Ace really should do? They should secretly get each member to play on the track. Say, well, I need you to play on this track. Peter, can you play drums on this track? And then Gene, hey, can you play bass on this track here? You know, and Paul, and then secretly put together a
reunion
song for the four of them and secretly put it out, and then that would be a big selling point, man. Wow. That thing would sell like hotcakes.
The brains on Ken. That's a great, great idea.
And you know which you know which song that should be, right, Ken? Go Now.
You wanted the best.
Go Now.
Oh, go Now. Moody Blues.
The old
in 73.
Okay, yeah.
So that's one of the oldest and the first Kiss covers, well, which none of these guys have ever cut. So that'd be kind of neat. Yeah, there were some great ideas on the FAQ thread. There was that he should just go back and redo all the demos, you know, like he did for Back in My Arms Again for 10,000 Volts, which is certainly a valid idea. You know, if he can remember who wrote what and all those sorts of details that come into the business side. Obviously, again, we've been working on Ace Book. We have set lists from what he was performing live in the 60s. And I would love it to be culled from that for all these commercial tie-in purposes. But again, you know, that's just my personal bias. I love the ideas you guys have come up with about former members of the band, you know, and former band members, you know, that would be very cool. And that's my one pick, I guess, Go Now. Just because it ties in with the beginning of the band, and you know.
But Julian, you being an sort of an expert on early Ace Frehley demos, I know you really enjoyed those. One pick that I really would like him to put on this record is that song. What's it called? I Will Survive. I think is there a demo that called? I love that one. But what about you? You have a great insight in those early demos. Are there one or two songs that you would love to see on an upcoming album with Ace?
Yeah, but I would much rather he go back to the riff tapes, you know, from 77, 78, 79, and give those to Steve and work up songs from it, or maybe revamp some of the demos that were rejected for Kiss rather than the solo stuff. I love all the solo stuff, but we already have, for the most case, pristine copies of all those with his voice circa 1983, 84, 85, 86, 87. You know, so how is he going to top what those were? It's like demoitis happens to these bands in the studio. They cut a great demo and then they try and go in and recapture the vibe, and it's never as good as the original because of all that. So I would rather they create something new for an album, but for a covers album, I'd rather he just go back and do stuff that he actually performed live in the 70s or 60s, pardon me.
But what kind of songs did he perform live in the 60s? Do you remember?
Yeah. <it's in>
Oh, no.
I can't do any spoilers yet. We're
God
not there.
Damn it.
Yeah. No.
Where's your loyalty to Ace on the SFAQ podcast?
You this can't trick him.
My loyalty is to business, and it's got to be, because again, it's really cool. Some of the images of, you know, just the sets, just the song list. Actually, it's not even sets, just written out. And then there are some songs that he did that will blow music fans' minds because they are that off the wall. So I'm sorry to tease, but.
But how far are you in the Ace Frehley book? 70% done?
More than that. 250,000 words, 565. I don't know what it would translate to once it goes to a real designer, and all the photo licensing is done. But we're close. We're close. We're over a year into this project.
Yeah. Cool.
You know, it's loose ends and little gaps to fill. It's a very exciting thing to me. I showed a proof to someone in a bar a couple of weeks ago. He flipped through it page by fucking page. But let's get back to the Kiss of I don't want to talk about these projects.
Well,
because you're just trying. You're just trying really hard, and you're the one who's had a beer, and I haven't. So, you know, just fingers crossed. All right. Let's get to the topic for the day. Talk about get pissed off about podcasts who take forever to get to the topic, but we cover lots of different stuff. So Daniel, your suggestion was Kiss Cancer, the future of Kiss conventions, expos, Kiss events in the future. Set that up for us for the discussion, please.
Well, I think as we all know, this past year has been the dullest Kiss year in history, I guess. The worst year ever when it comes to Kiss, and that boggles the mind. What will happen in the future? There was a great event taking place in America this weekend called Kiss Cancer Goodbye or something like that. Kiss Cancer Goodbye 3, I think it was. And by the way, why wasn't any of you guys at that event? That's a big question. Lonnie, why weren't you there?
Because my life is really crazy between September and December.
Well, you just check some alarms. It can't be that crazy. Put on off, you know, put on your alarm.
Yeah, I got this big switchboard over here with levers and pulleys. That's all it is.
Okay, so life is full of things that you have that's to, crazy. You know,
life's
yeah, it's crazy.
Life's a little crazy.
But what about Ken? You're such a big Kiss fan. Why didn't you go to Kiss Cancel 3?
He was sick?
I would have liked to, yeah. You know, it's funny, as I was.
That's no excuse.
Last week, actually. So it's a good thing I didn't go, I guess, or didn't, you know, pay for some tickets and so on. But that one, I thought, yeah, this looks cool. You know, it'd be nice to. I mean, the thing is for me is it is all the way across the, you know,
okay,
the country,
far away
from all the way. You know, it's about as far as you can fly across the country. So
yeah,
so.
Too far away.
That's kind of a thing for me. If it was a little closer, or if I knew, you know, maybe, you know, Gene's band was going to play live there or something like that, I may have, you know, thought about it more. So I'm just waiting for a time. I know there'll be another convention probably that will come that I will want to. And I'll go ahead and fly across the country to do it. Because, you know, I have a little bit more time now, so I might be able to try going to a couple of these things and, you know, hanging out with the Kiss fans too, you know, at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's all part of it, so.
Of course, yeah. I won't even ask Julian because he seems to have a whole lot of projects going on busy all the guy. Time. So I don't, he's a busy guy.
No,
so
I would have loved to have gone, but it was in Florida and I don't like Florida.
You don't like Florida.
There you have it.
Can't stand Florida.
Too hot.
It's just nasty. Yeah.
Nasty.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's just, it's incompatible with me. I don't want to fly to Florida that far. I need to, you know, protect my money at the moment with 2025 looming and family obligations. So I don't really want to blow that sort of money for that sort of event, though it was an absolutely incredible lineup. Yeah. Anton Figg on drums. Is that you? Talk to me. She says European charisma, hard times, two sides of the coin, X-ray eyes, torpedo girl, 2000 man, speeding back to my baby. What's on my mind or your mind? Rip it out. That is incredible.
Yeah, I think it was an incredible event. The best convention for sure in a lot of years. So I think that's a sort of a kickoff of how should I put this? The world without Kiss. This is the type of event
where
the new era, what we can look forward to. And I'm just interested in hearing what your opinion is on the future of conventions / expos and / Kiss events in the future when there's no Kiss. I mean, is this a good example of what will happen in the future? Will it be improved? Will it be done differently? What will happen when Pop House get things going? Will there be other events? What will happen? Because we've done this for 10 years, guys. What will happen the next 10 years from now on? That's what I want to know from you guys.
First of all, you said Pop House. What does Pop House have to do with expos right now? What did Kiss have to do with expos is my point, just to draw the parallel between the two. I think Pop House is certainly going to have areas that they can look into as the avatars or maybe some of the projects that they are working on come closer. And maybe some of the people who are talking to them have some ideas that align with, say, Kiss Cancer event, you know, yeah. for I think it's, in Europe.
The thing is, there's two things going here. The first thing is, what will KISS fans be doing? What kind of things will they be arranging, like expos and conventions? And on the other hand, what will Pop House bring in the future to this? It's like a two-headed monster going, you know, neck to neck, side to side, you know, at the same time. How will the future look for us KISS fans? Because it hasn't been too fun this year. It's the dullest year of all time. So I'm interested in hearing, what is your take on the future? How will fans, you know, make it more interesting than it has been this year? And what will Pop House bring it next year? They always said that in 25 stuff will start happening. I'm just wanting to know what you guys think will happen.
You're in the area where the great expos used to take place. Mm-hmm. What do you think and what do you want?
I would love to see an Indianapolis Expo come back or Chicago or something like that. But I think Indy is a logical choice. That's where all the big expos used. That's where the big expos used to be a big one every year, you know, in the spring for a really long time. And Keith would bring in. I went to one where Paul and Tommy were there, and there was one the year before where Gene and Eric were there. I mean, and I think that's where people are going to gravitate to. That I think if you can put something together, you know, with one of the band members, doesn't have to be two of them, you know, and they're not necessarily, and if you get Gene or Paul, wow, that'd be incredible. But if you could get, you know, something like that, and you could get a good tribute band playing, or you could get an Anti-Fig and a Bruce Kulick and guys like that to get up and do some cool things together like they had this last weekend, I think fans would really gravitate to it. And then back to what Ken was saying too, I think one of the coolest things about those conventions is that, especially now, it'd be like a family reunion type of thing, where, you know, you haven't seen your fellow KISS fans that you would see at events in over a year in a year now. So I would really look forward to something like that hopefully happen in 2025. I'd love to see an indie expo. And I don't know if I'd really even care who the guest was. I think I would like to go just to go and celebrate the band and see the members of the KISS Army that would converge to that town.
Good. You could be the influencer. Burnt suggested that we're influencers. I'm such an should influence. Be at this. No, there are enough podcasts falling over themselves with who already have ins with a lot of the artists in the Florida event. You know.
Oh yeah.
I don't go to influence. I go to report and maybe to flog a book or two, or sell collectibles as well. So I have a kind of different outlook on what an expo is to me. Ken, when's the last time you went to an expo anyway? And what would you want?
The last thing was the kind of expo was that LA one, Peter Criss, I guess.
Holy shit, I forgot about that. That was great.
Peter Criss one. So yeah, see, that was closer, a lot closer. So I was, you know, Julian and I went down to that one. So that was a good one. If KISS Pop House is going to do, maybe they will use the trademark name that I remember KISS trademarked, the KISS Conventions with a K, right? I think.
And Expo.
A while back, yeah. So maybe they'll finally get around to using that. And maybe they will have some kind of real KISS Conventions. And maybe, I would be happy if they did something like those old, the ones, you know, where they did the KISS Conventions in the early 90s, right? Those, it doesn't have to be the same as that. You know, I don't know if they're going to, would play Unplugged or something, or do a couple songs or something like that. If they can get a couple of the members there, that would be very cool. And then have, you know, they could have the traveling museum, like they always talked about, you know, Gene's stuff and all that kind of stuff, you know, the same time type of thing with the mannequins and the costumes and all that, and the guitars. And I think that could work. I think you'd get a lot of people to go to something that was official, definitely. And if they had enough cool things going on there, I would definitely go, for sure. So, as for Indie Expo and stuff like that, yeah, that they talked about that. I know coming back too. I think people are interested in seeing that, and I think I'd probably go to the next one if they had another one there, because that one's always put together very well, and it always has good guests and so on. So, yeah, I'm up for that. As for any other ones out there, like this Kiss Cancer thing, that those turn up. I don't know how many other people have the ability to create these, do these conventions, because it's not easy to put this stuff together.
Hell no. And you have to have deep pockets and a brave constitution to put on an event, just with all of the variable pieces, appearance fees that I don't even understand. I wouldn't want to even go there. I'm trying to think of expos I've been to. Obviously, you're Atlanta.
Well, the Vinnie Vincent one?
You're muted.
I'll keep talking because, Atlanta 2018 was something different, but Indy after that was like an emporium of Spencer's crap and leftover t-shirts from the Kiss Online store. Garbage in some senses. I nearly flew to that. What was it? Norway or Sweden? I don't remember which one. Alex showed the eye video there. You're still muted. If you knew the answer to that.
It was in Sweden. I think it's Trollhättan you're talking about.
Yeah, Trollhättan.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, I wanted to go to that desperately. I would travel to Scandinavia.
That would be cool.
For an expo. Without any doubt, I would do it if I'm still alive. So.
But we need to address the Kiss Cancer thing a bit more, I think. What do you take away from that weekend? I think there were a lot of cool stuff happening. The thing I was wondering about was did anyone ask Eric Singer about his current, role in the Kiss company? Is he still in the Kiss company? Is he out? Did he get any questions about that?
Eric's always answered those like he only works here. He's the last to know.
Yeah, but what are some of the highlights from that weekend that you take with you? I think it was kind of cool to see them performing, that band called the Good Looking Guys or something. The
Handsome Devils.
Yeah, the Handsome Devils. Yeah, I love the guitarist in that band. I don't know who he is. He played the Vinnie Vincent stuff, note for note. Pretty cool. And that guy who's on another podcast played the drums. He did a cool homage to Eric Carr. Sounded great. I think that band sounded great. And then I watched Quarantine with the wrestler guy. What's his name? Chris Jericho. Yeah, he can't sing for shit, but it was kind of entertaining anyway. So I think those were two things that I really enjoyed, just watching YouTube videos. It was probably even better in real life, of course, but there was some cool stuff happening there. Did any of you guys watch videos from Kiss Cancer 3?
Yeah, yeah, I saw quite a few of them, actually. I thought they were, pretty good performances. So I enjoyed them. I enjoyed watching the songs and hearing the songs. And I really enjoyed, I watched the full Elder thing, the album all the way through, because I wanted to see how that all went, because that's never been done. And, you hear a cover song here or there, usually, of the Elder. And that was pretty good. I mean, it followed the intended track list, I guess, of the album. And I wanted to see like Under the, I don't remember ever seeing Under the Rose play live,
right?
And I thought that was cool. I mean, that's what, like my one of my favorite songs off that album, and I really thoroughly enjoyed it. It was really cool to see played live. It was interesting. But
how did they do fanfare? Kazoos?
I think it was pre-recorded.
They had the fanfare intro, and then they went into, just a boy. they, you know, went into it. So, yeah, that was a pre-recorded thing. But they had the keyboards there for a lot of the keyboard, you know, parts, you know, like for, you know, World Without Heroes and, you know, Odyssey. Odyssey was better, actually, than off the album, in my opinion, because of the vocals.
Not too hard.
Paul's vocals were totally wrong on The Elder for that song. He should have sang it in his regular kind of voice. It was a better, very, you know, it sounded a lot better live down there. So, yeah, I watched a lot of those videos, and I really enjoyed it all.
Lonnie.
Yeah, I thought it was good. It's fun to hear live performances of songs that the band basically ignores.
Yeah.
Even if it is, you know, it's 70 stuff, Elder stuff, you know, the Alive 2 stuff, the Alive 2 studio tracks. So I thought it was really entertaining, and it really gave a glimpse of what future expos could be, because the people that are going to a KISS expo are the diehards. The people that want to hear that. Yeah. I don't need to hear Firehouse at nothing against Firehouse, but I just don't need to hear the standards when I go to something like that. Even when I've gone to expos in the past and there's a tribute band there and they still just perform like the hits. I'm like, you know, come on. I mean, I'm at a KISS freaking expo here. I mean, we can, I don't need to hear Detroit Rock City. I mean, let's dig deep. So I enjoyed watching those videos and seeing those deep performances. I think that could really be the future of these KISS expos, of really catering to these diehard fans, because there are no KISS cruises anymore to cater to these diehard fans. Like, oh, I could go and KISS is going to play, you know, these songs. And granted, that wasn't every cruise, but you know, there was that possibility you could hear things like that. So I think that could be a direction that the expos go in the future. And I watched those videos, and they were, yeah, that it was very enjoyable hearing those songs.
Yeah, watching Bruce continue to celebrate his era of the band and the stuff he got back together with Eric Singer, you know, to do was kind of cool. I mean, I was very kind of picky just because of time, and there's nothing more than that. I was mostly checking out the Anton stuff from the thread so far, but it's all up on YouTube. I'm able to go back to it from the conversations of people's enthusiasm about different things. I have no desire to see Chris Jericho. Sorry, not my cup of tea. I saw the set list for the Ace Frehley Band guys, and that just looks fun. You know, for listening to no deep cuts like the Handsome Devils. You know, again, just it looks like it was super well put together from that perspective, that it covered all the musical bases that diehard KISS fans would be jonesing for at this point. So a lot of thought and consideration went into the kind of combinations of musicians who were put together or worked together. And these guys seem to be a pretty close-knit group anyway at this point. And that, I think, does make it the future to a certain extent. It's developed out of kind of Bruce's sets on the cruise, where he'd bring in celebrations for specific eras and albums. And those go back also to his brother doing similar. And it really allows people to dig into different eras of the band, different albums. It's great market research for Pop House to see what is being reacted to with particular enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm.
It's great market research. Absolutely fantastic. What works? What doesn't? What do people want? What do people not want? What are they not talking about? Or what are they complaining about after the fact? So it's really brilliant. But it also takes a person with a great brass pair to put it on in Florida. So congratulations to Neil and his team for, you know, pulling off a great event, because obviously it's been very well received by people who were there and people who are just waiting for the YouTube videos.
Yeah. What's next?
Daniel, this is your show.
Yeah, this is my show. Well,
you're the host. You're supposed to be able to wing it.
No. Okay. Come on. I can wing it if you want me to. Well, I guess that's how we see the future. KISS conventions or KISS expos will still take place. There is a market for them. and there are arenas to be, you know, discovered as we go along. I think this thing will continue for a few years. The downside is the KISS army is getting kind of old. I'm kind of wondering, how will they attract younger fans? The last show I went to, I was kind of surprised, you know, the Gene Simmons concert in Gothenburg. There were a lot of young fans, but how do you keep them interested in the band?
Avatars. And the superhero
cartoons, kind of, superhero cartoon show
basis. A lot of the things that KISS fans in the 70s or towards the tail end of the 70s.
You play the same card again.
No, I think it's a universal because kids enjoy that stuff, or maybe the avatars take it to a new level that we can't imagine. Because we're not coming from that creative point of view that team is. Maybe, you know, it's going to blend more successfully than any of those freaking KISS comics did. The kind of anime aspect with a bit of hentai and comics and cartoons all combined. I mean, kids today have very short attention span. So how many of those kids that you saw in Gothenburg or at any of the shows that I saw on the end of the road are diehard KISS fans, other than when their parents put them in the t-shirts and drag them into the car and saying, we're going to the dentist or we're going to the KISS show, you choose.
Well, but what about the other topic then? We've touched on it. Animalize Live Uncensored, 40 years. Live videos in KISS's career. You have a lot of videos released from KISS. For example, KISS Confidential is sort of live. What else? That thing they released in the 2000s from Washington. What's it called?
From Washington.
Yeah, wasn't it Washington?
The Rock the Nation DVD?
Rock the Nation. Wasn't that Washington?
Virginia Beach. Yeah, and Bristow.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But for me, since
and Vegas?
Yeah, Vegas as well.
That's true.
Maybe we could talk a little bit about the you know, those box sets that they released from with a lot of concerts. But from my point, when it comes to live videos, I still think Animalize Live Uncensored reign supreme. For me, it's the best live document of KISS. Of course, I became a fan in the mid-80s, but to this day, I can go and watch that video, and I think it's just great. I know some people think that they play the songs too fast and stuff like that, but growing up as a fan of the 80s, I think they rocked the hell out of that show, and it just the right amount of effects, but the focus in that show is the performance. I mean, just take a look at Paul Stanley during that concert. I mean, no one can top the performance from Paul Stanley in that concert. I think it's the ultimate rock star performance, and I think that video, it's just it's too bad it's not under the, you know, like the KISS brand. They haven't never really done anything with it. I think someone else own the rights to it, because it could be, you know, be released again in some way. And it's the Alive 3 that we never got, you know, with Eric Carr on the drums. And I always enjoy him singing Young and Wasted. So what's your take on Animalize Live Uncensored? How do you rate it among the other live videos that KISS released, Julian? What do you say?
Me? Oh.
Yeah?
I don't. It's never been a favorite because of the tempos and kind of the sonics of it. I mean, I enjoyed the heck out of it back in the day. I remember when I was living in Asia, buying an Indonesian cassette bootleg, which was that show. And that was my Alive 3, just like you said, for many years until the Alive 3 with Eric Singer came out. Looking back on it, it was the right kind of move for them to be doing, especially with the MTV concert that it was based on. And if they did a box set of Animalize Alive or Animalize with that, like I said, the soundboard you know, I would be on that like a fly on shit, like every other fan probably. But to me, I don't know what the definitive live video is that I go to for a KISS experience. It's a very difficult thing to kind of pick one, because I don't like KISS Confidential at all. Sorry, Lonnie. I wish they'd done that treatment for Hot in the Shade and fixed Eric's drum sound.
Yeah. Yeah, so the bootleg videos from, or all the in-camera videos, in-house videos from the 1990 Detroit shows, they are just awesome.
They are.
I think that's that. Those two videos, or I think I got a hold of the second night first when I was a fan back in the early 90s, and that just blew my mind.
1890s.
Yeah, sort of. Feels like that. Sure. Long time ago. but those two Detroit concerts show you, they can show you the power of the non-makeup KISS that's easily forgotten. Not by Lonnie, but a lot of other KISS fans. They forgot that KISS was a force to be reckoned with in the early 90s. Even though public didn't seem to care, they rocked it. If you go and watch any show from the Hot in the Shade or Revenge tours, I mean, it rocks. It wasn't in fashion, but they were great. But what about Lonnie? Your favorite live video with KISS, long format?
I like the Analyzes. It is not my favorite, though. I agree with Julian that the tempos and that are just they're too far out there for me. That I like it, but it's not my favorite. I do like Confidential. Still has a special place for me. Obviously. But as far as like a go to, it's hard to pinpoint like what your go to live KISS concert is, because, you know, and it goes back to, it's one of the reasons why we love the band so much, is that there's so many different incarnations of the band. It really just depends on what I'm in the mood for. Mm-hmm. Am I in the mood for, you know, something from 96 with Reunion? Am I in the mood for something from the Eric and Tommy lineup? Or am I in the mood for, you know, Detroit 76 type thing, and like looking for an Alive type thing. So it really, I don't think there really is a definitive one. It just depends on what kind of mood that I'm in, and I think that holds true for a lot of fans too, because and it's one of the great things about KISS is that, you know, different albums sound so much different than other albums. The 80s KISS sounds so much different than Hotter Than Hell. You know, I don't think there's a definitive one. I think that it's just whatever you're in the mood for more than anything.
Shame on you not mentioning 94 and 95 for your revenge.
Pardon the hell out of me.
Yeah, I'd take, you know, Tokyo 95 or right. Santiago 94 over a lot of others. I think they sound great without a lot of effects and bombs and stuff like that. They didn't need it, because the energy in the band and the way Eric Singer, you know, sort of updated the sound. I think those concerts are great. But Ken, when you want to watch, I mean, Lonnie mentioned the diversity of KISS being a strength, of course. If you would have been a diehard fan of AC/DC, I guess every concert is almost the same. But with KISS, there's a lot of diversity. So Ken, if you want to watch a video, do you go, maybe it's like Lonnie says, on Monday you want to see early KISS, you go and watch Vinterland.
Yeah.
And then you feel like, I want to watch vintage KISS, you know, at the top of their powers, at the height of their powers, you go and watch Houston 77. And then you feel, I want to watch the latest edition of KISS, and then you go and watch, you know, a concert from 2009. I don't know, what do you think about this topic, favorite KISS live long format video?
Yeah, well, when Animalize came out, that was like the greatest thing ever, because we had nothing before that. And I think the bootlegs didn't really start appearing till around there or shortly after thereafter, when they, you know, the bootleg videos started showing up. So that was it. I mean, that was great. But Kiss missed the boat, I think, not recording a lot of stuff earlier. You have the HBO concert, you know, the Japan one, which is cool
Ooh,
that we
yeah.
see later on, which is, you know, was produced. It wasn't like a bootleg type concert. But yeah, they missed the boat. I mean, they should have, after Animalize, they should have done an Asylum Pro Shot and done another one. And because every time they put those on for sale, they sell tons of
Yeah,
them.
yeah.
Every time, everything, any,
Yep.
all their videos, Exposed and Confidential, the whole thing. They all sell
Kissology.
well, great. So,
Kissology sold really well.
but I go back to stuff like, yeah, like Lonnie, you know, I go back to whatever I feel, you know, I go back to one of my, of course, always favorites is to go back to Winterland, you know, in the black and white video, which I think is just, you know, it's Kiss in their, you know, rare kind of form without all the extra production or anything. It's just rocking like crazy
Hungry.
and hung, yeah. It's a hungry band still at that point. And they were really tight at that point too. So, you know, there's other ones. A lot of them are bootlegs. I'll even go back to just the last tour, and I'll go to the, you know, the, when they played South America, where the fans are, you know, humming, you know, singing out the riffs of the songs and that sort of thing. It's just like, wow, with a
Well, do you
huge
mean
crowd.
83 or 94 or both?
Oh no, I'm talking about this like last, you know,
Yeah,
Okay.
there was a great pro shot. Can't remember if it
23?
was 22 or 23.
22 or
Yeah.
23. Yeah, it's great. I have it. I think I recorded it. I downloaded it and I like it so
Okay.
much. I put it on a DVD.
Yeah, there's a great
It's on
German one as
YouTube.
well from a few years
Yeah,
previous
before
from
that.
with the fisheye lens. Rock'n Ring, I think it may have been, or I don't remember.
Those are really great to watch. So yeah, it's whatever you're in the mood for. There's a lot,
There's
there's
so
so much,
many.
stuff out there. It's easy to just pick this or that, and you know, whatever you're in the mood for. So yeah, there's no real definite kind of long form video. Can't say what would be my favorite,
A
but.
few years back, we got a great treat thanks to Sam Loomis. And there was a big leak. I know Julian
Loomis, the
doesn't want to talk
president.
about this a lot, but is there
I was
a
watching some of that shit yesterday, so I posted the
there's a lot
what
of
was it, the room service rehearsal audio. I
Oh,
cleaned it up a
yeah.
little bit and I put that up on the
Okay.
FAQ, just a little ad hoc thing from like April 96. So yeah, it exists. All
Okay,
of that.
but what about, is there something from that leak that you still go back to and enjoy?
Largo 75.
Mm.
That fucking show is just absolutely outrageously good, warts and all. Yeah. And like Bernd mentioned, the January 76 stuff from there is spectacular as well. So come on, there was some fantastic stuff. Lonnie.
Yeah, 100%. I already went. And yeah, that it's incredible what's out there. And it really just depends on what you're in the mood for. But I mean, you could watch something different every day. There's so much out there with the band's incredible history, so.
I want to watch Atlanta 96 today. That's the one I
That's
got to
good
see if I
too.
still have it, because that was filmed for Japan. See if
Yeah.
I still have a good one of that. There's so much. There we go.
What about Ken then?
What about?
Yeah, but what about the leak? Is there a
Well,
video that you still enjoy to this day?
yeah, there's a number of them I had. I put them on on DVD. So some of them I downloaded. So yeah, whenever I'm in the mood for one of those, I'll like, oh, okay, that was seven, the 76 one. You know,
Yeah.
I'll check this one out today. You know, they're all, you know, pretty
They're
cool.
also
So.
different.
But Lana, do you remember there was half a concert from a Revenge show? Where was it from? I was so surprised when it was released.
Oh, I don't
Oh.
remember.
But it was a great concert, but it was just cut in half.
It was
So
cut
you
in
didn't,
half. Yeah.
yeah.
I forget where that was from.
Yeah. So
But
that was a
yeah,
great
that was
addition
fun
as
to
well.
watch. That was a fun little nugget for a guy like me that
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! Look at that! All of a sudden, it looked so crisp and clear, and looked like it could have been shot yesterday. It was so good. There's a lot out there, and it's that's the fun thing about being a KISS fan,
yeah.
In my opinion, is that there's so many different incarnations, and there's like Ken was saying, today I might want that, but tomorrow I might want something totally different, and it's the same band.
Whoever said Sam Loomis, come out and play. Yeah, if only, because there's so much more. There is so much more video that you guys haven't seen. I've seen some of it.
Lucky bastard?
Well, again, for research purposes, again, you do get access on occasion to stuff. So, but it does exist, and there is more. And that's, I think, one of the most important things KISS fans have to hold on to, whether it's looking forward to 2027, the avatars, whether it's looking forward to potential box sets between Pop House and Universal, or additional product that may be in the pipeline, or stuff that hasn't even kind of been hinted at yet. There is always hope for the future. There is stuff that has not been seen. There is a lot of stuff that has not been heard. There is stuff. So there is hope. There's stuff I hope to see and hear that I have not yet seen and heard, without a doubt. May all your dreams come true. Set one.
There you go.
Well, have you guys bought tickets for Gene Simmons?
He's not coming near California. Lonnie's coming near you.
Not yet.
He's in Kentucky. I was looking at that a little bit. I haven't bought tickets for it yet. That's not too bad. I can do that in a few hours. So. But we'll see. We'll see if there's more shows and what comes out of. I'm not ready to jump on it just yet.
We'll see if you're a KISS fan or not.
Okay. Fair enough.
All right. Let's wrap this one up.
Yeah.
You made us go over an hour, but that's a good bunch of topics on the FAQ this week, and I think that shows the potential of the future of KISS, is that there's still things to talk about, there's still things happening on a weekly basis. It's a great opportunity to get together as friends and an audience, chiming in with their thoughts. Our viewers, thank you very much for all the comments and interaction today. That makes it super fun as well. So KISS is done, but KISS is not done. KISS is eternal. So right now, from Lonnie, Ken, Daniel, myself, and Mark, hope you got your heater fixed. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. Thank you for spending time listening to the KISS FAQ podcast today. All sales are final. There are no refunds. If you'd like, look us up on Facebook or come over to the KISS FAQ message board and discuss the topic we broadcast today. Don't forget to rate us on iTunes, Spreaker, or wherever you've listened to the show. We hope you'll join us again.